Let me just pray for you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Bob and Carol. Lord, we thank you for their hearts to serve you out in India. And Lord, we just want to pray your blessing on him this morning as he brings your word. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you give us hearts to receive what you have to say through him? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Are we on? Yes, you can hear me. I can shout loud enough if not. Well, I don't know about you. I'm really excited to be here today. Where's Chris? That song, I need the lyrics to that song and the chords. What a fantastic song. You know, I almost feel like putting my message to one side and preaching out of that song. It was so powerful. Anybody agree? Well, you should do. The best is yet to come. You've sung that, yes? You believe that? Do you believe the door is open this morning for God to do something miraculous in your life? Yes. You've sung it. We've sung it. We've sung that to God, and he's heard. So I, for one, I'm expecting great things today. Yes? Thank you for Alistair and Andy for inviting me to speak this morning. I got the message a few weeks ago, and I immediately thought, right, I think I know what I want to speak. I have been asked to speak a little bit about India. For those of you who don't know, my name is Bob Price. This is my wife, Carol, on the front row. We have been part of this church family for 24 years now. And for half of that time, we've been out in India, the last 12 years. The church sent us out there on the 8th of September, 2006. So when we go back, we'll have completed 12 years. The church sent us out and we had a list of things we were going to do. That list is still there. None of the things on that list have been done. But God has done so much in and through us over the past 12 years. And let me tell you, if God had shown us the whole 12 years then, would we have gone? No. I'll be honest on that. We would not have gone. If he'd shown us what's going to happen, but we serve a God, he shows us the next bit and takes us on, and then takes us on. It's a crazy place at times. I always say about India, sorry, Gabriel, you either love India or hate it. There is no middle ground. You can't just get along in India. It's a place you either love, you love the people, or the things that you see around you will get to you. Fortunately, we love the people there. We love being there. It was a huge pleasure to have Nigel and Carol and Peter and Emma come out to visit us. You sent them to us. I hope they had a good time. I believe they did. You need to know I worked them very, very hard. I did not give them any playtime, but they did a fantastic job. They were such a blessing to the people in India, and I hope they've come back with stories. I know Nigel and Carol have, and I know Peter and Emma have, but you were a real blessing. The church there send their greetings to you and to the church here. Let me just tell you a little bit about where we're at these days. We belong to a smaller church in a place called Kompally, in Hyderabad. Gabriel knows Hyderabad very well. He knows Kompally very well. The church is what I say, we are one church, two expressions. One expression is the Telugu expression. They have 450 members, a little bit like this. We belong to the church, but we are in the English expression. We have 25 members. So morning to evening is a bit different. The Telugu church meet in the morning. We meet at 5 in the afternoon. The week before we came out here, the Telugu went to 2 services in the morning and they invited me to be the guest speaker. That was a great day. We were up at 8:30 going to church and we got back at 8:30 at night. And my age, my knees were feeling it, standing up, not only preaching in 3 services, but leading worship as well. Busy day in India, but quite the norm. Those of you, Nick and Sue, have been out there. A number of you have been out to India. Ian's been out a long time ago. It can be a little bit crazy, but you have to go with what God is wanting you to do. We belong to a church called Peniel Church. Last October, I was appointed an elder in the English church. And since that time, nothing to do with me being appointed an elder, but our pastor said he needs to be relieved from responsibility for a while. He's got some personal problems. We released him from responsibility, and I haven't seen him since. He is around, but due to that, I was asked, Bob, will you please, just for a while, take over things? That's not one of the things that was on our list from God 12 years ago. But we have to say, it's a season. Whatever God has for us this season, fine, not totally in our thinking, but yeah, we'll do it. So it's been a challenge. It's made me appreciate those leaders in the church here much more. Having to prepare a message every week, 11 weeks out of 12, which I had to do, is one thing. I've made a rod for my own back. I like to do a PowerPoint, so I have to do a PowerPoint for every message. And I spend most of the time at the computer. So some of the things we do, the social works we do, have been slightly pushed to one side. So I've been asked this morning to share a little bit about India and also to share about one of my favorite psalms, because I believe you're going through a series on the Psalms of David from September. So I hope this is a good prelude for that this morning. So I thought I'd do things a little bit Indian style. I've had one or two people say, I like your shirt. It is an Indian shirt. It's a very, very conservative Indian shirt. Is that right? I thought I would dress down for you this morning. But if I were in Kompally in Peniel Church, I would start by saying, good morning. And that's exactly the response I get in Hyderabad as well. Forget that side. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Good morning. I'll give you another try. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't like just speaking at people. I need it. Barbara, you can say one or two things. And then my second question is, how are you? Ah. Now, most people say, fine. It's a good Christian response, like, what did you have for dinner? Quiche and salad. That's what it used to be in the 80s. Yeah, those who remember the 80s. I'm fine. Well, I tell people in India, that is not good enough. If I say, how are you? From the people of God, I expect at least a good like Ian gave. Or a very good. Or I'm doing really well. The first book I ever read as a Christian was The Happiest People on Earth, about the people of God. Hey, we should be happy. I'm happy this morning. I love that song. I'm sorry, Chris. I know I've mentioned it once. I do want the chords. I'm going to pinch that song and use it in India. I've already pinched three of Chris Greenhouse's songs. And when the team came over, we had Peter on bass, Carol on singing. I think we did a reasonable job, didn't we? It was good. So, if you're fine now, I hope by the time you leave this place, you're better than fine. You need to be. What's the point? Why are you coming to church? Just to come and sit. Well, we've sung, I expect better things. The best is yet to come, and the door is open. So, if we can have the thing, I've got various clickers here. I've entitled this, Let's Make This a Day to Remember, for all the good and right reasons. Okay? It's a day to remember. I really hope I've been praying, I've been dreaming about the church here going out today, saying that is a day to remember. Not because Bob's speaking, not because we've had great worship from Chris Greenhouse, but because God is here. And he's here with a purpose. He's not here just to sit and watch what we do. He's here by his Holy Spirit to engage with us, to change us, to transform us, to help us to go out of here feeling good. Yeah? That's on my heart, and I am going to go out of here feeling a lot better than when I came in. I'm convinced of that. So let's make this a day to remember. Well, when we remember things, Carol and I, we have to remember that God called us to India. God sent us there. It was not our choice, it was God's choice. And we need to know that every time we face these challenges, these difficulties, and there are difficulties we face in India. I'm going to show you just one or two of them in a moment. And there are times that we've had to say, should we still be here? Do we still need to be here? And I'll be honest with you, it is Carol who's come to me many times and prayed over me, saying, God has called us here. If we're to leave, God will tell us when to leave. not the circumstances. If nothing else this morning, let's stop looking at the circumstances around us and letting circumstances dictate how we feel, how we behave, how we react, how we are. Yes? In India, they'd say hallelujah. You can be a bit Indian if you like. Right, I'm going to see if I can get this working. There we have one or two pictures of India. And I've got a little thing here. I won't point it at you. But over there, you can see there's a lot of rubbish. Somehow, wherever we go, people use wherever you go as a rubbish tip. And even walking from our house, the guys will tell you, there's a lot of rubbish around. It is, at times, a dirty place. There are no waste paper bins. These are things that we have to live with. And sometimes it's difficult. We have to really walk around and try and ignore these things. Floods. Well, some people are having floods now. The weather in India is very different. I thank you, whoever's put the heating on this morning to make me feel a little bit at home. This is a little bit like India. But is it time to put the heating on here? We don't have heating in India. There's no such thing as heating. It's natural heating. We live in a storage heater. Nick and Sue have been there. The sun shines on our house and it releases the heat in the evening. Derek and Barbara remember that very well. It can be very hot. This year, Hyderabad reached 49 degrees. Summer is generally between 45 and 50 degrees. Winter, it gets really cold. It gets down to 27 degrees. And 17 degrees at night. Sometimes you have to pull a sheet over you even. It's now monsoon time. And despite the monsoon coming every year, nowhere does anything about it. You get floods. The roads are flooded. Which brings us on to water. There's plenty of rain, but the water is really bad. We can't get water. We will not drink the water out of our taps. You don't even clean your teeth with the water out of the taps, do you, Nigel? I think he... Or was it Carol? One of the two, yeah. We always have bottled water, and there's a shortage. There's always a shortage of water. There's either too much sun, not enough water, oh, and in the winter, Bob, it's cold. They wear balaclavas and anoraks, and we're there in shorts and T-shirts. That's crowding. Hyderabad and Secunderabad are like twin cities like Manchester and Salford. 16 million people. So a huge amount of people. No pavements. You bump into people all the time. Traffic. Need I say more? Some of you have driven with me, have had the pleasure of that. Some of you have had less than the pleasure of driving with me in India. It is crazy. I always look in the mirror to see whether it's Nigel or Carol, Derek or Barbara or Peter or Emma, whether they've got their eyes shut. And I'm sure they've got their eyes shut most of the journeys. It can be crazy. And finally, pollution. If you fly out of Hyderabad, you think you're flying through cloud and you get above it. It's not. It's pollution. It's a very polluted place. Delhi is worse, but Hyderabad is right up there. These are things that we come across every day. Things that we have to cope with every day. Some people here said, oh, Bob, we've had a heat wave. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You go to Hyderabad. You stand there in the open, and all of a sudden, whoosh, something hits you and knocks you back. Literally, you can't see it. It's heat. If you imagine a wave in the sea, the heat does that there. That's a heat wave. We've experienced it. You know when you've had that. But we're glad to be back here in the UK. We're here for our son's wedding next week. We're looking forward to next Sunday, which will be the other side of the wedding. We're quite glad we've been 5,000 miles away for all the preparations. So we have to count our blessings. We have to say, God, you've called us here. We have to remember why God has called us there. We have to remember that whatever we are going through, God is with us. And as we've sung, the best is yet to come. There's always something different around the corner. Psalms, I love two scriptures particularly, Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18. Paul tells the churches there, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's not just having a time of worship. We should be speaking to one another with the psalms. I hope when you go through your series, you realize that. There's some great stuff in the Psalms. And I was asked, choose your favorite. Well, that took me a long time. I like Psalm 1, Psalm 4, Psalm 8, Psalm 37, 89, 90, 91, 95. Psalm 100 is one of my favorites. And of course, Psalm 150. All worshippers have to love Psalm 150. But I chose for this morning Psalm 103. And I found a really great version of that. Hopefully it will come up here. Today is don't forget to remember. Remember not to forget. You can put that whichever way you like. I'm sure there's a word for that, Nigel. What is that that you can put? Yeah. Okay. So, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 12. The key for David was he entered into God's presence. He started, come, my soul, praise the Lord. That's where he started. I would suggest you want to receive blessing from God, that's the place to be. Get to church. Meet with God's people. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And there's times that we have to tell our souls to bless the Lord. Sometimes our souls don't want to bless the Lord. Sometimes we feel very cranky on a Sunday morning. Anybody else or just me? Just me. Okay, that's fine. I'll carry on in that. Sometimes you feel very tired on a Sunday morning. You don't want to go to church. That's two of us. Oh, four. Right, we're getting there. Gosh, you have such pious people here in the church. What? Oh, and another one. Come on, there's times that you just don't feel like getting in the car and driving to church. Let's have another hour in bed. I've only got 2 days to sleep. I've done it. We've all been there. But I'll tell you, I'm so happy to be here this morning. And David says, let's get to the house of God. Let's praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Stop saying no. Stop saying stay in bed. Stop saying I'm tired. I don't want to be bothered. Get to church. Get to the presence of God. He blessed. Now I've lost one of these here. Can I go back? That's the one. Let's just read Psalm 103. And this is from a version called The Voice. I really like this version. I'll read it to you. If you can catch that, please do. Oh, my soul, come, praise the Eternal with all that's in me. Body, emotions, mind, and will. You know, we can be emotional when we praise God. Nothing wrong. Every part of who I am, praise his holy name. Oh, my soul, come, praise the Eternal. Sing a song from a grateful heart. Sing and never forget all the good he has done. Despite your many offenses, he forgives and releases you. More than any doctor, he heals your diseases. He reaches deep into the pit to deliver you from death. He crowns you with unfailing love and compassion like a king. When your soul is famished and withering, he fills you with good and beautiful things, satisfying you as long as you live. He makes you strong like an eagle, restoring your youth. When people are crushed, wronged, enslaved, raped, murdered, the Eternal is just. He makes the wrongs right. He showed Moses his ways. He allowed his people Israel to see his wonders and acts of power. The Eternal is compassionate and merciful. When we cross all the lines, he's patient with us. When we struggle against him, he lovingly stays with us, changing, convicting, prodding. He will not constantly criticize, nor will he hold a grudge forever. Thankfully, God does not punish us for our sins and depravity as we deserve. In his mercy, he tempers justice with peace. Measure how high heaven is above the earth. God's wide, loving, kind heart is greater for those who revere him. You see, God takes all our crimes, our seemingly inexhaustible sins, and removes them. As far as east is from the west, he removes them from us. So entering his presence, I did jump onto this, that's the key to receiving these blessings. After entering the presence of God, David started to praise the name of the Lord. Paul says that everything we have comes from God. This morning I'm saying, never forget. That means remember. Do not forget all his benefits. That means remember them. When you're facing any difficulties, when we face these things in India, remember the benefits of God. Do you know there are benefits to you if you know the Lord? There are benefits. That's what the Word of God says. Let's not forget them. Remember the benefits. These are the four things I just want to mention this morning. Remember your forgiveness. Remember your healing. Remember your redemption. And remember your crowns. We're just going to go through those four things very quickly this morning. These are things that David says at the beginning of this psalm that we should remember. Remember your forgiveness. We ask people in Hyderabad very often, give us a testimony. And very often people forget. They can testify saying, well, I'm saved. God has removed my sins from me. It says there, despite your many offenses. Wow, is that a message to the church? Yes, it is. Because Christians can get things wrong. Well, if I'm any example, don't answer that, but if I'm an example of Christianity, I get things wrong. I mess up. I need to remember, yeah, I do get things wrong, but God forgives and restores you. He doesn't just forgive you, he restores you. He brings you back into good relationship, good standing with him and with his people. Let's not forget that. That's one thing this morning. Remember, God forgives. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, he's here this morning to forgive you whatever you've done wrong. Many offenses, he forgives. How often do we say, ah, but you don't know, Lord, what I've been doing? Yes, he does. He knows everything you've been doing. Every wrong word, every wrong attitude, every wrong thing that you've done. He's a forgiving God. Matthew 26, 28 says, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Our God is a forgiving God. In him, we have redemption. Nowhere else. There's nowhere else you can find redemption except in Jesus. The forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, verse 7. Remember your healing. I love what it says in the voice there. More than any doctor. Now, that's not saying that doctors are no good. We need doctors. You know, God can use doctors to bring healing to your body. But more than any doctor, he heals your diseases. Are you sick this morning? Are you not feeling well? I wasn't feeling well when I came here. I've got a sore throat. I asked people to pray for me. That's what we can do today. If you're feeling sick this morning, no matter what that disease is, Jesus took all sicknesses, all infirmities to the cross. That's where they belong, not in your body, on the cross. Sorry, if it's cancer, it's not too big for Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever your situation, if it's a headache, it's not too small for Jesus. We're going to have a time, we have chosen this morning to have a time of worship after the message, specifically because we want you to receive what God has for you. My heart is that everyone here receives everything that the Holy Spirit has purposed for you today. And if that's healing of your body, receive it. You're in the presence of God. You've come to the right place. Receive healing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He took up your sickness. It's on the tree. We can live. Not under sickness. Not under anything like that. Redemption. It says there, he's redeemed our life from the pit. He reaches into the pit and takes us out from death. Oh, but Bob, I'm not in a pit. No. How many of you have ever said, oh, that's the pits? Huh? I have. That's putting yourself in a pit. We don't have to literally be like Joseph thrown in a pit by our brothers. But there's various ways that we can have pit living. We can live in the pit. We get knocked down, and it's easier to stay knocked down. Let's lie on the floor. God will lift you up. He'll lift you out of the pit. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock, gave me a firm place to stand. If anybody here this morning feels as though you've got your feet stuck in a bit of mud, a bit of mire, God not only can, but he will lift you out of that. Don't leave here today with your feet still stuck in the mud. And I'll tell you, I'm talking out of personal experience. If there's anybody who can get his feet stuck in the mud and want to stay there, it's me. Some people here, a lot of people here know that. But I have to change my mind. I'm getting older. The older I get, the less life I have to look forward to, the more I have to say, I've got to get this right one of these days. And one of these days, I will. Maybe today, maybe not. This is the final one. I love this one. Remember your crowns. Do you know that God wants to put crowns on you? Yeah? Carol always goes on at me. She says, Bob, why have you got so many shirts? I like shirts. I have many shirts. Unfortunately, a lot of my shirts today don't fit me. I go up and down in my weight. I'm only wearing this today because I've had it for 2 years and it's the first time it's fit me in 2 years. But I love shirts. I can put a different shirt on every day. I'm a shirt person. I like shirts. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a wardrobe full of crowns. Well, I believe it. I hope it. I'm going to have a pink crown to wear with my pink shirt. I'll have a blue crown to wear with my blue shirt. You want to laugh? I believe it's true. What are we here for? We're here for eternity. And in eternity, there are rewards for faithful servants of God. There are crowns. And I believe God has a storehouse of crowns. And he wants to, some of you have got many more crowns than me. But I want a wardrobe full. I want to be able to choose which crown I wear each day. You can't wear more than one in a day. I'm going to have crowns like shirts. I hope the same for you. But it says he crowns you with love and compassion, like a king. He comes and he puts it on you. Do you feel the love of God today? Do you know the love of God in this place? Do you feel it on you? Can you feel a crown on your head? If not, ask the Lord to come and do it. Boy, oh boy, preaching to myself again, I need that so often. There are people around who you think, well, they're not as easy to love. I need a crown on my head to love some people. I'll admit it. But God does it. He crowns you with love and compassion. Have you been crowned? Are you aware there are crowns for you? Have you received that love and compassion? Let all that we have praise the Lord. I'm going to conclude by reading a poem to you. I'm going to ask Chris if he'd come back with the team. We're going to lead it into a time of worship. Do you know the forgiveness of God? If not, this is your time. Do you know the healing of God in your body? No matter what it is, we're going to have time at the appropriate time. Chris will invite you. I know we have prayer teams here, but I believe in the priesthood of all believers. Get prayed for. Doesn't have to be the pastor at the front, doesn't have to be a leader. But let's pray. Carol's here, she's prepared to pray for people. Nick is here, Alice is here, you are here. Let's pray for one another. Do not leave without getting prayed for. If you need forgiveness, if you need healing, if you need taking out of that mud. And if you just don't feel you've ever had that crown of love and compassion, get prayed for this morning, and whoever prays for you will put it on your head because it comes from God. Let me just conclude with this. It's a poem. Today, upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy, and how I wished I was so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and had a crutch, but as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. When I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. Then I saw he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word. Then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Stop whining. Bob, stop whining. Remember all the good that God has brought.